but his wife was in poor health, and so we needed to stay home and connect with us virtually. And so we're going to do that at this time. Let's see if I can get this technology working right. Ha ha. All right. So we're going to get him on the screen here, and I'll introduce him to you. And so you know, after the time of, we're going to have a session that he's going to share with us. We're going to have a little bit of a break, and then we're going to have a Q&A time as well. And so if you have any questions about what he's talking about or anything that you think he might have expertise in, then please do write those down, think about them, and then bring them up. Pastor Troy will lead us through that time. So Dr. Michael Haken serves as Professor of Church History and Biblical Spirituality at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and is the director of the Andrew Fuller Center for Baptist Studies, which operates under the auspices of Southern Seminary. He is also Professor of Church History at Heritage College and Seminary. That's mine and Pastor Troy's alma mater as well, where he has taught for much of the time since 1993. The Fuller Center also has an office on the Heritage campus in Cambridge. Before that, he was professor of church history at Central Baptist Seminary in Toronto, one of the schools that formed Heritage. Dr. Haken has a BA in philosophy from the University of Toronto, a Master of Religion from Wycliffe College, the University of Toronto, and a Doctorate of Theology in Church History from the University of Toronto and Wycliffe College. He is the author of a number of books in patristic and English Baptist studies. He and his wife, Allison, live in Dundas, Ontario. They have two adult children, Victoria, who lives in Vienna, Austria, and Nigel, who is married to Sharon, who is expecting their first grandchild this summer. So I'm going to turn this camera around so he can see you as well. And why don't you give him a welcome? Thank you for being with us, Dr. Haken.
Thank you. Well, it's a great privilege to be with you this morning. I'm very sorry that I cannot be with you in person, but I'm very thankful for the technology, Zoom, that enables me to be with you virtually. So let me first convey my congratulations on this milestone, 110 years. That's much longer than the fellowship of which you exist. The fellowship was founded in the 1950s. Your church goes way back into the 19-teens. And as was mentioned earlier, founded in 1915 during very, very different days than we have today. First World War, the technology that we enjoy today, no such things as mobile phones, television, all of those things that we take for granted, none of those existed in the 19-teens. And about 10 years ago, when you celebrated your 100th anniversary, you received a letter of congratulations from the church that played a critical role in your founding. There were five individuals from First Baptist Church in Ottawa who had played a critical role in the 10 years leading up to your founding in 1915. And that was only appropriate. We'll talk a little bit about First Baptist Church in my talk today. But you also received a letter from the Prime Minister of the time, who was the Honorable Stephen Harper. And in the copy of the letter that was conveyed to me as I was preparing for today, Prime Minister Harper said this, among other things: "This anniversary offers parishioners, yourselves, a chance to reaffirm their deeply held spiritual beliefs as they reflect upon the events that have shaped their church's history and legacy." And Prime Minister Harper rightly recognized that a church anniversary, then 100 years, today 110 years, is a great time to think about the past and reflect upon the past and to be thankful It's an opportunity to be thankful for those who laid the foundations of you, what you enjoy. The Lord Jesus put it this way in John 4, verse 38. Others have labored, and you have entered into, or you have benefited from their labor. Well, this morning, as I was thinking about what to talk about, one subject kind of pressed itself upon me, and I want to go back, not simply 100 years, I want to go back actually 200 years. And the earliest Baptist churches in the Ottawa Valley were founded, the earliest Baptist church was founded in 1816 at a village, it's almost a hamlet, called Breadalbin. And I want to go back to that period of time to think about the some of the key figures, in particular one key figure, a man named Daniel MacPhail, who was a Scottish Baptist from the Ottawa Valley, and the role that he played in founding Baptist Witness in the area that we call Ottawa. So my focus today then is going to really be the biography of one individual and the way in which Daniel MacPhail was absolutely critical to the founding of a number of Baptist churches in the Ottawa Valley, and then ultimately became the pastor of First Baptist Church in Ottawa before his death. I do have a slideshow, which I'm going to initiate, and so I'll be reduced a little bit, my picture here, but so I am trusting you could be able to see the slideshow. So let me share my screen, and I can bring that up. So you should be able to see the slide there that says celebrating the 110th anniversary of Calvary Baptist Church, Ottawa. And I'm going to go through those at appropriate points in my talk. So as I said, my focus this morning is on a Scottish Baptist who was critical in the formation. Okay. So I will forego the slides then. Yep, not a problem. Not a problem. Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, let me shift then and it would be helpful, as I said, as I thought it would be helpful. I knew that there might be some technological issues, but I thought it'd be helpful to be able to see the person I'm talking about. But that's fine. So it was in the depths of a Canadian winter in February 17th, 1836, that delegates from six Baptist churches met in Montreal to form what would become known as the Ottawa Baptist Association. Two of the churches that sent delegates were from Montreal. There was a French-speaking church, the oldest French-speaking church in Montreal, and then there was an English-speaking church, which had been planted back in the 1820s by a man named John Gilmore, who was a Scottish Baptist. And then there were four other congregations that sent delegates. Breadalbin, this little village, which is the oldest Baptist church in the Ottawa Valley. In fact, it's probably the oldest, second oldest Baptist church in Ontario. It's definitely the oldest Baptist church in the Fellowship in Ontario and Quebec. Breadalbin sent a delegate. Dalesville, on the Quebec side of the Ottawa River. Hull, just across from Ottawa. And a church named Clarence. And these six churches decided to form an association, which they formed it for the advance of the cause of Christ and to better associate as Baptists. And one of the things that they emphasized was that they needed men to plant further churches men of deep piety, men of love to Christ, men of humility, and men of moral courage. And over the years that followed, these churches flourished, and we'll see something of that flourishing. And the man that I'm going to talk about, Daniel MacPhail, would exemplify the characteristics I've just mentioned. He was a man of deep piety, a man of love to Christ, a man of humility, and a man of profound moral courage. Daniel MacPhail, his last name, M-C, small c, capital P-H-A-I-L, was born in 1811 to Scottish parents in Scotland. His father and mother, Duncan and Janet MacPhail, emigrated to Canada in 1820 when he was 9 years old. And it was a period of significant emigration from the British Isles, particularly Scotland. Again, it's very difficult for us to imagine those days. When they came to the Ottawa Valley, it was a vast expanse of forests. There was hardly any land that was that we would describe as cultivated. They had to basically cultivate the land, which would involve arduous chopping down of the trees, getting the roots up out of the ground, and then proceeding to plant crops and so on. It was said that a squirrel could go from what was would be Ottawa all the way to what would be Toronto. Ottawa in those days would be called Bytown. It was called Bytown up until 1854, and when it was named Ottawa. And Toronto was called York. A squirrel could go all the way from Bytown all the way down to York or Toronto and never touch ground. That's probably an exaggeration, but it gives you some idea of what Ontario would have looked like, a vast carpet of forest. And these Scottish pioneers came from the Scottish Highlands. Most of them were they settled in the Ottawa Valley, large numbers of them settled in the Ottawa Valley. Most of them were Gaelic-speaking. And the subject of my talk today, Daniel MacPhail, was both Gaelic and a Gaelic speaker and English speaker, and he would often preach in Gaelic. They initially came to up the St. Lawrence River and settled in Montreal, where Duncan MacPhail worked as a school teacher and was earning a fairly good salary. And he was approached by fellow Scotsmen in the Ottawa Valley to leave Montreal and come and take a house, a farm in Chatham, in what would be Osgoode Township. And in the around 1821, 1822, he'd only been a year in Montreal. He and his family made the trip from Montreal to Chatham in the Osgoode Township. And it was here Daniel MacPhail's parents were believers. It was here that Daniel was converted and he was baptized. We're not sure where he was baptized. It would have been a river. No Baptist church in those days had baptistries. Everybody who was baptized as a believer would be baptized in the open air, usually in a river. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. And it was here that he was converted and baptized at the age of 15 in 1826. His father had started a Sunday school in their home, and his father's health failed in 1831, and Daniel MacPhail would take over that Sunday school. In 1834, there was a significant movement of God in the Ottawa Valley. And there were a significant number of churches founded. And between 1834 and 1835, there were over 300 men and women converted in the space of about 18 months. It was a vast body of people added to the churches, those six churches, in this period of time. And Daniel MacPhail was involved in that. He had seen revival had taken place in Breadalbin, and he invited the minister of Breadalbin, a man named John Gilmore, to come and preach in Osgood Township. And when Gilmore came, he told MacPhail that there needed to be men and women praying. It wasn't simply enough for him to come and preach. They needed men and women to pray that God would bless the preaching of the word. And there was a particular night in 1835 when Daniel MacPhail and some friends passed the entire night in prayer, praying that God would come down in power. And he did. And Daniel MacPhail lived through a significant period of revival. And that's a theme I'm going to pick up a bit later. And it was also during this revival that he sensed God calling him to be a pastor. Only problem was, his father had died. He was the eldest child of about 8 or 9. He had to support his family. Most of his brothers and sisters were still quite young. And he had no funds. And even if he did have some funds, how could he leave his family? And in the summer of 1835, he was shopping in a little village not far from his home, a little village called St. Andrews, which is on the Quebec side now. And he was in the shop of a man named Guy Richards. And Guy Richards was not a Baptist. He was a godly Presbyterian. And he had heard about MacPhail's desire to go to seminary. And he asked him if he needed money to do so. MacPhail thought he would want him to become a Presbyterian. And he told him fairly blunt, MacPhail was a very plain speaker. He told Guy Richards, he said, yes, I'd love to go to seminary, but I'm not going to become a Presbyterian, if that's what you're thinking. And Guy Richards said, I'm not asking you to become a Presbyterian. And as it turned out, Guy Richards supported him financially to go to seminary, which we'll talk about in a second. And he also supported his family while Daniel MacPhail was away from home for what would be 3 years. Guy Richards was a merchant. He had come from the United States after the American Revolution. And he was also the postmaster. He had a store, and he was the postmaster of St. Andrews. And he was true to his word. Nobody remembers him today, but he was the man who enabled Daniel MacPhail to go to study at a seminary in New York State. There were no schools in Ontario at that time where Daniel MacPhail could study for the ministry. The closest place he could have gone in Canada was in the Maritimes and was Acadia, what would become Acadia University in Nova Scotia. And New York was much closer. And so he traveled down to New York in the summer of 1835 to go to Hamilton Theological and Literary Institution, which is now Colgate University. And you may have heard of Colgate. He spent 3 years there. That's where he learned Greek and Hebrew to study the scriptures. And it was also there that he met another Canadian who would become a very famous figure, a man named Robert Alexander Fyfe, who was a fellow Scotsman. He had been converted a few years earlier, had been baptized in the St. Lawrence River in Montreal. And he had come to study there. Robert Fyfe would go on to become the founder of what would eventually become McMaster University. And he's a very, very significant figure in his own right. In 1838, MacPhail had finished his 3 years of study, and he came back to Canada. One of the challenges that he recognized was that men who went down to the States to study often did not come back. And that's still a challenge today, that people go down to the States to study and they don't come back. They marry American girls or they get offered great positions in the United States and they don't come back to Canada. But he had a deep love for his fellow Canadians in the Ottawa Valley, and it never crossed his mind to stay in the United States. He comes back to Canada and is ordained as a pastor or a minister of the gospel on Thursday, January the 24th, 1839, at Dalesville Baptist Church. Dalesville Baptist Church is a sister church in the fellowship. You're celebrating your 110th. They're celebrating their 200th anniversary this year. And I've been asked to write the history of their church. And in the months that followed his ordination, he began to preach. Again, in the area where he was, there was no physical building where he would be able to preach. And so one of his friends had a barn, cattle barn, and the cattle be in there during the week. They turned the cattle out on Saturday night, mucked the barn out, put some benches in, and they would use that as an auditorium where he would preach the gospel. And during one period of preaching in the summer of 1839, again, there was a period, significant period of a blessing and awakening and what we would describe today as revival. 30 men and women were converted in 1 week. And together with another group of about 10 or so, they formed Osgood Baptist Church, which still exists, I think, today. I think it's in the old convention. And it was during this period of time that MacPhail realized that his giftedness was as an evangelist and not so much as a pastor. And so in a letter that he wrote, he to friends, he had indicated that God had converted a significant number. They had formed themselves into a church, but who would be their pastor? And in the process of time, about a year later, he agreed to become the pastor of this congregation. And it was under his ministry, he was there for 25 years, from 1840 to 1865, as the minister of this church. When he became the minister in 1840, there were 60 members. When he left, he will become the minister of First Baptist Church in Ottawa. When he leaves in 1865, there are 250 members. In the 25 years, the church had grown from around 60 to 250. It was significant growth. But he was not only the pastor of the church, but he would often, during the summers, take evangelistic forays in the areas around the Ottawa Valley. And we're actually told that probably hundreds, maybe even a few thousand, men and women were converted under the preaching of Daniel MacPhail and formed into churches all the way through, up and down the Ottawa Valley, along both sides of the Quebec and the Ontario side of the Ottawa River. We have very little that he wrote. For instance, Robert Alexander Fife, who I mentioned earlier, wrote tons of letters back and forth. They wrote tons of letters back and forth. We have virtually none of MacPhail's letters. When I was doing the research for today's talk, I went to McMaster University, their archives. There are tons of Robert Alexander Fife's letters to MacPhail that MacPhail kept, but for some reason, Fife didn't keep any of MacPhail's letters. And so it's very, very difficult to know some of the thinking of MacPhail as a gospel preacher. But we do have two what we would describe today as tracts that he wrote. One of them in 1841, I'm going to talk a little bit about it very briefly, and then one in 1859. The one in 1841 was called Piety and Prayer. And one of the things he emphasized in that little tract in 1841 was the all-important necessity of being a person that prays. He emphasized that there can be no godly life without prayer. And he emphasized three things in the tract. Number one, to live a godly life without prayer is biblically impossible. That when a person becomes a Christian, there is this instinct to pray. There's this desire to pray. There's this hunger to call out to God. And so the first thing he emphasized is that Christians are men and women who pray. Secondly, he emphasized that prayer is something that must be done on a regular basis. Prayer is vital, he argued, for assurance of salvation. Prayer is vital for knowing the joy of the Lord. Prayer is vital to serve God. And he gave a number of examples from the Bible. For instance, David as a man of prayer, and Paul as a man who, in his letters, again and again, encourages his readers to pray without ceasing. And this is one of the, I think this is one of the key things that we can learn from Daniel MacPhail, that his usefulness to God was rooted and grounded in a life of prayer. The second letter that he wrote, which was written about 18 years later, was in 1859, had to do with Christian liberty. And one of the big things that is challenging Christians today is this whole area of Christian liberty. And the whole area, particularly in the United States, but it has reverberations here in Canada, is the relationship of the church and the state. And is the church to draw upon the power of the state to defend the church, expand the church, etc.? And in this little tract on Christian liberty that Daniel MacPhail wrote in 1859, he emphasized that Baptists of all denominations in Ontario had always emphasized the importance of Christian liberty. They had not used the power of the state. In fact, they had emphasized the importance of separation of church and state. And that Baptists had stood for the freedom of men and women to worship God without human interference by the state, however they wished. And even if there were people who MacPhail recognized, in his mind, worshiped God wrongly, and he had some very strong views about Roman Catholics, he emphasized that they need to be allowed freedom to worship God as they saw fit, as long as they were not seeking to undermine the state. He emphasized that freedom, religious freedom, was a great privilege, and it lay at the foundation of all other freedoms and privileges that we have as citizens of a country like Canada. That in the life of a believer, the authority in the believer's life is the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the particular church to which he belonged. And the only time that a Christian should disobey the state is when the state orders Christians to do things that clearly go against Holy Scripture. And it's a very, very significant little tract. And it indicates something of the commitment of our forebears to religious liberty, which is a very, very precious, very, very precious freedom. In 1865, and MacPhail at this point then is in his 50s. In 1865, he accepted a call to the First Baptist Church in Ottawa. This was the year prior to this. Ottawa had changed its name from Bytown. It was named after a man named Colonel By, who had played a critical role in the establishment of the settlement that we call Ottawa, and it also played a critical role in the establishment of the Rideau Canal. The Rideau Canal was built in the early 19th century because of fears that America would invade again after the War of 1812. And I'm sure you've followed some of the recent developments between us and our American friends. And the challenging remarks of the President of the United States, about Canadians becoming the glorious 51st state of the United States. This is not the first time Americans have threatened, and it's not clear to know whether or not he's serious, but it's not the first time Americans have threatened us with taking us over. It happened in the War of 1812 for 3 years, an actual war. There were attempts in the 1870s, 1890s. President McKinley made similar remarks to President Trump. And it was because of these sorts of remarks that the Rideau Canal was developed as a way of getting shipping quickly from Montreal down to Toronto. And in 1855, the town of Bytown changed its name formally from Bytown to Ottawa. And it was 2 years after that that the first Baptist congregation organized in what we now call Ottawa. In 1857 was when First Baptist Church was formally organized. Please note, there were 40 years between the First Baptist in the Ottawa Valley and the First Baptist Church in Ottawa. The First Baptist in the Ottawa Valley had appeared in 1815, 1816. Daniel MacPhail had been part of that group from his conversion in 1826. And there were no Baptists in Ottawa. There was a small group in Hull, a church that would eventually die out before the present Baptists in Hull. And the First Baptist Church's first minister was a man named James Mackey. He was there for 4 years. They had a second minister who was there very, very briefly. And then in 1865, they called Daniel MacPhail. Daniel MacPhail emphasized that he was willing to come as pastor, but he had to be allowed to go on evangelistic forays during the summers. He was an evangelist in many respects at heart. And the church agreed to that. And by 1870, when he went there, the church was struggling. By 1870, the church had 65 members, and he had laid the foundations for what would become a rapid growth of First Baptist Church in the late 19th century. But in 1870, when Daniel MacPhail was now close to 60, he asked the church if he could relinquish the pastorate and go back to evangelistic preaching. And so it was in 1870, he stepped away from the pastorate in First Baptist Church in Ottawa. And he spent about 4 months in evangelistic preaching. And then it was in January of 1871, on a particular Sunday, he was administering the Lord's Supper and he had a stroke during the service. And the stroke was severe enough that he lost the power of speech. And the voice of Daniel MacPhail that had been resounding throughout the Ottawa Valley for close to, at that point, 50 years, was now silent. He lived for another 4 years. He would die in 1875. He was remembered by his friends and by churches well into the 20th century. All the way down to the 1950s, you can find articles about Daniel MacPhail. And obviously in the early years, people who remembered him had heard him preach. He was not a great preacher in one sense. He was not an eloquent preacher, and he was not a scholarly preacher, but he was a preacher who preached from the scriptures. He knew the scriptures intimately. He knew human beings intimately, and he was able to bring the scriptures home to the human conscience. He was a man of incredible integrity, and people trusted him. And that would, again, be a key lesson if we had time to go into it, the importance of integrity in Christian ministry. But the thing that is especially important to recognize, he was a man who lived his life in communion with God, and thus his ministry, his pastoral ministry, his preaching ministry, was rooted in prayer. Very quickly, four takeaways from the life of Daniel MacPhail. First of all, the importance of prayer. I'm sure all of you have very busy, busy lives. But as a Christian and as a body of Christians, your prayer life and your prayer life together is absolutely vital. I remember years ago, about 20 years ago, preaching at a Fellowship Baptist church down near London. And the theme of my talk was on revival. And I emphasized that one of the important things about revival was the necessity of God's people praying for revival. The church, that church service that morning had around 300 people. Afterwards, when I was talking to the pastor asked me, he said, how many people do you think come to our midweek prayer meeting? Well, I thought 300 people in the church, maybe 70. And he said, well, guess again. And we then proceeded to do that a sort of thing like Abraham does with God in the book of Genesis. And when I got down to about 20, he said, yeah, our midweek prayer meeting has around 15 to 20 people. And I thought to myself, that's not a good sign. I didn't say that to him, but I thought to myself that, you know, out of a congregation of 300, only 15 gathering regularly to pray for the church and the life of the church. Now, there may be a number of reasons why that was so. Sometimes the format of the midweek prayer meeting is not conducive to people gathering. But prayer is absolutely essential to your life as a church. It's essential to your lives as Christians. And Daniel MacPhail's ministry reveals the importance of prayer. The second thing I think his ministry reveals is the vital necessity of revival. Revival is not something that we can conjure up or create, but how we need that in our day. Daniel MacPhail had the privilege of living through two or three significant outpourings of the Spirit where God worked in remarkable ways, saving significant numbers of men and women in a very brief period of time. And it can be easy to think, well, hey, we don't live in those days. We live in a very different day. And we do live in a very different day technologically. But in terms of our God has not changed. And the basic human needs are still the same. Men and women whom you meet day by day are sinners. They are mortal. They will one day face an almighty God and have to give an account of their lives. Those things have not changed. And we need to be people of prayer that pray that God would do a great work in our day, that he would turn the tide and turn many Canadians back to the living God. And then I think thirdly, Daniel MacPhail speaks of zeal for God. He was an evangelist. He had a remarkable gift of being able to speak for God and people being converted through his witness. But we too need to be a people who share the gospel as God gives us opportunities. Churches that fail to evangelize, not surprisingly, eventually die and wither. And so here's a man whose life ended back in the latter part of the 19th century, but who across those years still speaks to us. He was absolutely essential to the development of Baptist witness in the Ottawa Valley, and Calvary Baptist Church, when it was founded in 1915, would have had people in her body who would have remembered hearing Daniel MacPhail and knew firsthand the importance of this man's life. May this small glimpse of the past be an encouragement to us to pass on the faith, to be a people of prayer, hungry for revival, sharing the gospel with those who do not know him, trusting that the Lord would save sinners and bring them to himself. Thank you. And I'm happy to take questions after you're going to have a break. Happy to take questions on Baptist witness in the Ottawa Valley or also Daniel MacPhail's life in that regard. Thank you very much.